This is KBNF Regional News. It's Tuesday, March 11th. I'm Patricia Naft. Colorado's annual 120-day legislative session is already halfway over, and so far, lawmakers have tackled a whole host of issues, everything from gun law repeals to wildfire and flood-related measures. Penta Berkland spoke with lawmakers about the session.
By all accounts, this year's session has been much less contentious compared to last year. That's when Democrats used their majority to pass stricter gun laws, a new voting bill that allows for all-male ballots, and tougher renewable energy standards for electric co-ops.
The first half is usually a little quieter than the second half. Obviously calmer than last year, and part of that's just the numbers. 17-18 makes a difference on the floor.
That's Republican Senate Minority Leader Bill Cadman of Colorado Springs. The difference he's referring to is the loss of two Democrats in the Senate after recall elections. Republicans took their place, narrowing the majority. Despite the change, Democratic House Majority Leader Dickie Lee Hollinghorst says the parties in both chambers are working well together.
The party of no has turned into the party of, well, maybe. Let's talk about it. And I applaud their every effort to engage in constructive dialogue.
Republicans and Democrats are pushing a package of flood and wildfire recovery bills, measures that would give counties additional money for road repairs and more budget flexibility to respond to natural disasters. And both parties also support a bill to try to begin restoring some of the deep budget cuts in K-12 schools. Speaker of the House Mark Ferrandino says it's a first step.
We have to live in the realities we live in. If we can only afford so much, we can't, over-leverage ourselves.
But the education community says the bill doesn't do enough and comes with too many mandates. Democratic Senate President Morgan Carroll says she understands their concerns.
I think what we're coming up against is pent-up frustration about the fact that they're cumulatively probably over $1 billion short. Patience is running out, and they'd like to catch up all at once with no strings attached.
But lawmakers not likely to happen, as there are lots of pressures on the budget this year. The state's quarterly revenue forecast on March 18th is expected to be lower than projected. While there will be more money available for the budget, Speaker Ferrandino says not every good idea will get funding.
There are a lot of requests for money. Revenue is coming up, but revenue is not coming up enough to meet everyone's request. We'll go back to what our priorities are, floods and wildfire, economic security, and education.
Lawmakers are also working on several bipartisan bills to update the state's telecom laws and create more broadband access in rural Colorado. There's also a proposal still in the works for an aerial firefighting fleet. And Republican House Minority Leader Brian Del Grosso wants to put $100 million into the state highways.
Now, in the grand scheme of things, that's not going to fund our entire transportation budget, but it at least starts the process of getting general fund dollars into transportation.
That's just one of the many budget-related bills lawmakers will debate later this month. Passing a balanced budget is the only thing the state legislature is constitutionally required to do each year. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The State Senate gave final approval Monday to regulations for an emerging ride-sharing service in Colorado. Companies such as Uber and Lyft compete with taxis and are taking off in the state. Benta Berkland has more from the State Capitol.
Unlike taxis, drivers in these ride-sharing companies use their own cars. Customers book and pay for trips with a mobile phone app. The app also lets customers see photos of the drivers and an estimated pickup time. Republican Senator Ted Harvey of Highlands Ranch is one of the main sponsors of Senate Bill 125. He says the measure is necessary to open up competition in places such as Greeley.
Yellow Cab in Northern Colorado is the only company allowed to dispatch drivers to pick up patrons without appointments. This bill is important for us to pass to provide not only Greeley, but citizens in your towns, citizens in downtown Denver, citizens across the state of Colorado, an alternative to the monopolized regulated taxi cab industry that may not be providing the services that your community wants.
Lawmakers say the ride-sharing startups, such as Uber and Lyft, require a different regulatory structure from taxis because the businesses don't own their cars or employ drivers. The bill requires background checks for drivers, a minimum age, and mandatory insurance coverage for companies. Only a handful of lawmakers voted against the measure, which now heads to the House for consideration. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
WPX Energy reported late last week that a land slump apparently caused by excess soil moisture ruptured a gas line near Parachute midweek. The Glenwood Post Independent reports the rupture occurred in a 16-inch gathering line midday Wednesday on private property south of the Colorado River and east of Parachute. Spokesperson Susan Avalar told attendees at the Garfield County Energy Advisory Board meeting it was, quote, dry gas, and there was no soil contamination. She said the event lasted about a half an hour, and the company had not made final calculations about how much gas escaped, but initial numbers indicated that the amount was below the threshold at which the leak needed to be reported. No injuries occurred, and no fire was associated with the leak. The town of Paonia is moving closer to hiring a new town manager, their first in several years. Dave Knutson, human resource consultant to the town, reports three candidates will be vetted this week with a public meet and greet Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. at the Brass Hotel in Paonia, and Thursday morning from 8 till 11 a.m. Candidates will make individual presentations at town hall. The public is invited. Public input about the candidates will be accepted by the town council Thursday evening at town hall. Time to be determined. Knutson expects trustees will make a decision by the end of the month in a public meeting. Western Slope real estate assessments are reflecting a six-year economic downturn. The Western Slope Watchdog reports this trend is visible in Mesa County's total assessed valuation decreased by more than $206 million between 2011 and 2013, from $2.0 billion in 2011 to $1.8 billion in 2013. In Montrose County, the total assessed value is down more than $71 million from 2011 to 2013. According to the assessor Brad Hughes, assessed valuation for 2011 was just over $560 million and decreased to $490 million. According to Delta County assessor Debbie Griffith, Delta County had a total assessed value that is down $750 million due to the partial loss of revenue from two local coal mines. The 2011 total assessment in Delta County was almost $4 billion, which decreased to $3.2 billion in 2013. Still, Griffith added, it's not as bad in Delta County as it was in 1985 and 1986, when a mass exodus of people left Delta County due to a loss of energy industry jobs, causing tax revenues to plummet. Colorado collected more than $3.5 million in taxes and fees from both recreational and medical marijuana sales in January, according to figures released today by the State Department of Revenue. Of that amount, more than $2 million came from recreational pot. And finally, despite high-strung nerves in Colorado's neighboring states, cops say there's no evidence that marijuana is being smuggled out in massive amounts. Still, some pot advocates complain of being targeted, as reported by the Coloradan. I've heard people saying it's becoming an epidemic, and it's certainly not, says Captain Scott Harrington of the Kansas Highway Patrol, whose troopers patrol the eastern boundary of Colorado. It's status quo. We're just not seeing something that turns our heads. On the northern Colorado border, Wyoming State Trooper Carl Germain and his drug-sniffing dog Bonnie are keeping a close eye out for anyone smuggling marijuana north on I-25 from the Denver area or east and west on I-80. Our primary focus is the safety of people on the roadway, Germain says. After issuing a written warning to a speeding driver, we're not out here profiling. We're not out here stopping everyone with Colorado plates. As long as they're not impaired and they don't bring it back, it's none of my business. Officials from the Utah, New Mexico, and Nebraska state patrols all say the same thing. They aren't doing anything different, and they aren't seeing any changes. They remain focused on dangerous drivers, regardless of their license plates or direction of travel. We're not setting up at the border, says Captain Tyler Cotter of the Utah Department of Public Safety. Cotter says it stands to reason that more marijuana will be moving through Utah along I-70. We haven't seen any trends yet. Still, a lot of people seem to believe that drivers leaving Colorado are being targeted. Denver defense attorney Rob Corey has heard it plenty. The story runs the same. They're all detained for 2 hours while the police dismantle their vehicles, says Corey, a well-known marijuana activist. They're finding nothing and later admit it was because they were from Colorado. Stay tuned for the Tuesday morning music mix with the hurricane. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.